on the phone line with us. Of course, we heard from Mike already. Mike, how are you doing, Mr. Zuzulo?
Let's sweeten the pot more, Todd. Let's say that anybody that calls in the next half hour, if they want it, they can have 2 months of my weekly copy for free.
All right. There you go. So thank you so much. That's
marvelous.
That is something else. So now you've got another challenge in front of you. You call in this half hour, any of you that call, you'll get a free copy for 2 months of Mr. Zuzulo's. And that one comes out how often?
Would be the weekly copy. I do both daily and weekly, but I'm going to do weekly.
Yeah, and is that
it's the busy time of the year. They're not going to be able to read it each day anyway.
Yeah, okay, so the weekly copy, 2 months. 8 issues or thereabouts. Fantastic.
Correct.
Thank you so much, Mike. Okay, I know they want to hear about the marketplace, so let's talk about that. What did you see in the futures today?
Well, it's kind of like what we were talking about this morning. When you look at the Dease corn and you're down about 25 cents and you're at the second slowest planting pace in the recorded history for this time of year, and we were 56% planted in Illinois a year ago on Monday, and then you look at July wheat in the Kansas City market back at 750, and you're back to where you were last May, even though the crop conditions are 30 points lower in good to excellent, and that means they're twice as bad as they were last year at this time. I think you got to go someplace else to help explain why the market went lower, and I think my explanation would be we had the big gold sell-off 2 weeks ago with the bad GDP from China. We came out this week with a bad PMI from China. And then the Chinese leaders this morning came out and put a statement out, and they said, we, A, need to strengthen our economic growth momentum, and, B, help not have any potential risk to the financial sector. So I think you've got a general bias right now in the midst of supply-demand fundamentals that would say we should be going up, this bias that the overall commodity demand is going down. I think it's wrong because the agriculture sector, I think, hasn't really appreciated how tight we are in supplies. At least the spreads have, but in the cash market has, but maybe the future traders are betting on that new crop supply coming very quickly.
And so you're waiting for the recognition to come into the marketplace at this time.
Exactly right. You've got May delivery next week. You've got the crop tour in the Southern Plains. The Kansas crop tour is going to be huge next week, in my opinion. And then you've got the planting weather. Will it be on or will it not be on? I've got folks from Northern Illinois saying we're going to try and run Sunday, Monday if we don't get rained out. This weekend, I've got folks down in Tennessee saying they didn't get half their corn in. They're moving to beans. I think the trade is a little bit messed up in terms of, and confused, I should say, probably a better word, in terms of what actually has gotten done and what will get done. I think by Tuesday of next week, it'll be a lot more clear to everybody.
Yeah, speaking of clear, CME Group today announced that there is a force majeure in place
right
for
on
deliveries.
Illinois.
Yeah, and what does that mean exactly?
Well, it's an act of God that they will not be able to take on any of their contractual obligations because of an act of God, because of the flooding. That's the very simplistic definition of why they went ahead and did that, because you're seeing now another system coming through in both this weekend, a light system, and then middle of next week, the afternoon models, the midday models, actually came in with a lot more precip for the primary corn belt. The Ohio River Valley is probably going to swell the Mississippi again. So if you don't have the Illinois River causing problems this week, you'll probably have the Ohio causing problems next week when it comes to the Mississippi.
And that press release also mentioned something about most of it not headed for the export market, but for the local end users, ethanol plants and such. Why did they go to that extent?
I'm not sure if that was because they do not have the rail availability at this point to be able to substitute and offset, or whether the cost measure is just too great on the rail. But I was wondering the same thing, is why did you distinguish between that? And my guess is because the trucks and the rail aren't going to be able to pick up the slack for what they have to do, so they're going to have to just say, we can't get it to you.
Yeah. Oh, so the force majeure simply says, it's an act of God, we're supposed to deliver, but you're not going to get it.
That's exactly how I understand
how
most
does,
force
how
majeure.
How does the contract get filled at that point?
Say again?
How does the contract finish completion? How does it get filled?
I think that'd be a question for Dan or one of the other guys that are in the commercial side, because I don't know if they get a certain number of days to fill that contract after enacting the force majeure. I'm not sure.
Huh. Well, it'll be interesting to watch. I guess so. We'll find out. Hey, soybeans on the flip side of the corn and the wheat, which were lower, soybeans have been moving higher.
You couldn't ignore the cash market in the soybeans, and I think that's where they really were able to pull away from the bird flu fears and the China fears and really take on the mantle of leadership to the upside. And I did not think they had it in them all week this week. I thought maybe this start of the week they would, and then they'd give back a lot of their gains and then come back in with May delivery next week and maybe try and lead to the upside again. But they really surprised me to the upside, and I think it goes back to Central Illinois still quoting $1.10 over for May beans. They're just not there right now, it would seem, Todd, and it really calls into question that grain stocks report by USDA last March.
Hey, can we talk about livestock just a bit? Did
sure.
you see Chris Hurt's writings and musings earlier in the week in the Weekly Outlook where he suggested that later in this year, fall in particular, expansion could take place, and then we could have another little bump in the fat cattle market simply because heifers would be laid off for that expansion?
You know, the interesting thing about, I did not read Chris's update, but that makes sense from a standpoint that the supplies are going to be ample in livestock. You had a cold storage report when you add the poultry increase, the pork, and the beef together from last week. That's a 14% increase versus last month. And that's a real big number to have to digest. And then when you get today's GDP figures, I'm really concentrating hard on getting the summer hogs back to the mid-90s and getting some hedges laid in there, because I'm really concerned about a bigger supply meeting a lower demand, because I think we really are teetering on a recessionary mindset. And these payroll tax cuts were noted in today's GDP. The fact that they went off and that people are being, you know, taking more out of their checks, that's a big issue to the trade, I think, in the meat sector later down the road.
All right. Thank you so much. And just a reminder, your challenge to the listeners is that anybody who calls in this half hour will get 2 months' worth of your weekly reports.
That's exactly right. And that will include weather updates and the whole shebang.
All right. Thanks so much.
You bet, Todd. Good luck.
Oh, my gosh. Helpful. Thank you so much. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon.